After nearly 40 years of working in the nation's capital, Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi has played a central role in some of the most consequential American events of the last two decades. And that is the focus of her new book, The Art of Power: My Story as America's First Woman Speaker of the House. Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So you have said this new book, The Art of Power, that it's not a memoir, but it does have a number of very personal, very intimate moments in it. It's also just a sweeping collection of big moments through your leadership, through American history, 9/11, the war in Iraq, the 2008 financial crisis. How did you arrive at these moments? What's the common thread?
Well, you said it well, it's not a memoir. But when I was in the leadership, these were four areas that I wanted to show our side from the House Democratic side, where we were on the issue. So I intended to write this book a long time ago. I just had no time. So by the time I wrote it, when I was no longer speaker and had the time to do so, people said, well, you have to write about January 6th and Trump, and you have to write about what happened to your husband. And so I have some other things there. Mm-hmm. But there are other subjects that I will write about: Ukraine, I will write about climate, the climate issue, and the rest. But that's for another book.
You talk about this in the book, about male colleagues discouraging you from seeking leadership, saying that there was a pecking order. And you write, when the women members spoke out in favor of having a woman in the Democratic leadership, the same gentleman said, quote, why don't you just make a list of what you want to do and we'll do it for you? Yeah. It's often said power is not given, that it has to be taken. Yeah. So how do you do that?
Well, they also said at the time when I was running, who said she could run? Who said she could call me? And all of this is in this century. We're not talking about something. This is in the 21st century. Yeah. Well, it was just their old way of thinking. God bless their hearts. But the fact is, I said to them, I don't want you voting for me because I'm a woman, but I don't want you voting against me because I'm a woman. I just want you to show you why I think we can win back the House. See, the reason I ran is I was 94, 96, 98, 2000. We kept losing the House. And I said, I know how to win elections. I want to show with policy and the politics how we can serve the people.
When it comes to women in positions of power, do you think that America is ready for a female president today in a way that maybe many people believe we were not back in 2016?
Well, I think America is ready. I always thought, I mean, I never aspired to be speaker. But then when I wanted to be in the leadership, I thought I'd be number two or number three. And then I became the speaker because I won the election and that was it. But I always thought we'd have a woman president before we'd have a woman speaker, because the Congress was a very male-dominated, mm-hmm. marble ceiling kind of place to break a marble ceiling. But I think we're very ready, and I think we will. I have Kamala Harris is a person of deep faith, of great patriotism, personally of deep faith and patriotism. So I think from a political, from a personal, and from an official standpoint, she's prepared to lead us.
And now she has a new running mate who you know very well from his time in the House as well. What's your assessment of what Governor Tim Walz brings to the ticket in terms of how he complements Kamala Harris? Who is he bringing in who might have otherwise been a challenge?
He complements her very well in that he is patriotic. He's has a sense of humor. He has a sense of duty. And he knows the issues. I mean, 12 years in the Congress, that's good preparation to be the Vice President of the United States. And he's beloved by the members of the House, the Democratic members of the House, even some on the other side.
Does this Harris-Walz ticket help down ballot? I mean, I should point out, last time you were here was on election night in 2022, and you rightly predicted there would be no red wave. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask for your prediction for this year, too. What do you think happens in the House? Do Republicans keep their majority?
No, I don't think so. See, that night, and thank you for remembering, all these hummas. Washington, New York were saying, oh, they're going to red wave 30 to 40 seats. I said, they don't even know what they're talking about. So we knew that we had real opportunity. And we came very close, except we lost 5 seats in New York. Mm-hmm. And that's the amount of votes we lost by. So this time we'll win them. I have no doubt about it. And it's all, of course, we felt confident before what happened the last 3 weeks. But after that, and since this new campaign, members are even more encouraged.
That change in the ticket came after a series of events. One, I know that you've been asked about ad nauseum, mm-hmm. which was the interview you gave on Morning Joe, which is a show we know the president watches, and you said it was up to President Biden to decide if he was going to run, that if turned into a turning point of sorts. And I know you have said that you never intended to even talk about that in the interview, but you did just say in a recent interview to The New Yorker that you'd never been impressed with his political operation. And you said they won the House, bravo, but
the
my concern was this ain't, the White House, correct, but this ain't happening, is what you said. You were worried that a decision had to be made of some kind. So is it fair to say, even as you were fielding worries from everyone else about the ticket, that you yourself had your own concerns that Biden was losing to Trump?
Well, I thought that he could beat Trump, but there had to be a different approach than what we were seeing recently. God bless them for winning the White House and that. But in this race, in a different set of realities that were out there, that the lack of communicating what he did as president, one of the most consequential presidents of our time. But as the campaign was unfolding, I thought that justice wasn't being done to him as to how everything was being presented. So it was his decision whether his campaign would change or accelerate the pace or whatever, or there would be a change in the candidate. And that's the course that he chose.
You've talked about, you've known him for so many years,
yeah,
for decades.
You love him.
You've said this repeatedly. My understanding is you haven't spoken with him since he ended his campaign. Is that still correct?
Yes, but that would not have been unusual. That's only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that much time. Our whole family for three generations, my husband Paul and I, our children, our grandchildren, all love Joe Biden. Yeah.
Mr. Biden also recently talked about his concern about more political violence if former President Trump does lose this next election. Are you worried about that as well?
Of course. This is a president who, as president of the United States, instigated an insurrection against the Constitution, against the Congress, against the Capitol, the beacon of democracy to the world, to desecrate, to defecate, to disgrace the people who worked there, to treat them with scorn and the rest of that, and danger. So, so certainly we don't trust him to be responsible in a transition.
That political violence, of course, landed on your doorstep when your own husband was attacked in your San Francisco home. You start the book with that story, and it's clear that it still has such an incredible impact to this day on your family. How much does that day still loom over you, your work, your family today?
Well, they didn't just land at our doorstep. They came inside of our house. Imagine invading the privacy of your home in a very dangerous way. Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy? Just what they were saying in the Capitol on January 6th, coming for me. So it's something that was horrible for our family, the physical damage still to be completely recovered from, but trauma that will be with us for a long time to come. But part of it is also, we don't want other people to back away from their political or governmental participation because they have fears for their family. This is America. It's a democracy. We exchange ideas. We compete in ideas. That's what a democracy is about. So it is, we don't want anybody to back off any decision to go on. I have tremendous guilt because he was coming for me and my husband paid the price. I'm very political. I take pride in that.
You still feel that guilt today?
Oh, sure. As long as my husband is in pain, I feel the guilt, but also just the trauma.
Madam Speaker, you have been at the table on some of the most consequential moments in American history. You have broken barriers in your own way. You've now overseen a generational transfer of leadership in the House as well. You've been doing this for almost 40 years, and you're running again.
Yeah, well, it'll be 40 years at the end of this term.
What is left to do? What's on your list?
Well, first, we just have to we start where we are. We have to win the election, and we make a decision to win. When you make a decision to win, then you make every decision in favor of winning. Okay. A decide to own the ground with your mobilization to get out the vote. A decision to have a bold, progressive message that is non-menacing. that addresses the kitchen table issues of American people, a decision to have the resources, the money, to do these two things. And the most important decision in all of that is the candidate. And a decision has been made as to our candidate for president and vice president will be made. We're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. Now we've decided to put one good day in front of another to mobilize, to message, and to also, I have my three no's. No wasted time, no underutilized resources, and no regrets the day after the election that we could have done more. Mm-hmm. Some elections are just a few votes. Difference in a state makes a difference. I always compare it to the Olympics since we're in the season. Gold, silver, bronze, happy to be Olympian, like within 1 second. Yep. Within 1 second. These elections are that close. We have to all do our part to win, and that's what we intend to do. So that's my purpose for running this time, is to be sure to be in place and fortified to help. We want the candidates to be themselves. That's what they have to be. They have to be themselves, be ready, take pride in who they are, and that's that. But we have to help them get across the finish line. That's what's important to me right now. Make sure that he never steps that foot in the White House again, and that we have a House and Senate to support our Democratic president and vice president.
Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, thank you so much for coming by. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
And my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for talking about The Art of Power, my book. Thank you.